The Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the chief priests and elders of the people, "What is your opinion? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, 'Son, go out and work in the vineyard today.' He said in reply, 'I will not,' but afterwards changed his mind and went. The man came to the other son and gave the same order. He said in reply, 'Yes, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did his father's will?" They answered, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. When John came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him. But tax collectors and prostitutes did. Yet even when you saw that, you did not later change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord. For $20, who can tell me the name of the musical from which this song comes? Okay, just raise your hand if you think you know it. So this is how it goes. "With me, it's all or nothing. Is it all or nothing with you? It can't be now and then. It can't be half and half. No half and half romance will do." Anybody have some idea? Oklahoma. Oklahoma. Who has 20 bucks? I don't. That's why I like to offer that. That's a great song, and I often find in Broadway musicals or any kind of a song, there's so much Christian scriptural truth in them. So in this song, it's this guy singing to his girlfriend, "You've got to stop flirting with other guys." Of course, she's saying, I just can't help it. But he says, "You got to stop flirting. It's all or nothing." And that's with Christ the same. With us, it's all or nothing. There's no in between. Now, that doesn't mean that God does not recognize that we're constantly growing and changing, and that there's always hope that we will constantly undergo conversion and reform so we can do what we're called to do as Christians. But each and every day, it's very clear our faith is really black and white. It really is about Jesus Christ, or it's about nothing. It's all or nothing. Last week, we had that wonderful reading of the landowner that gave the workers who came late in the day the same amount of money that he gave to those who came early in the day. And the ones who came early complained, and he said, "Well, wait a minute, you agreed to this wage, I gave it to you, and I'm being perfectly fair because it is my money and I can do what I want with it." But, of course, people would say, "Well, that's not fair. If I work longer, I should get more." Well, God's idea of fairness, of justice, of mercy, is very different from ours. Because, let's face it, if it was the same as ours, would we be here today? No, we wouldn't be here today. If God operated according to our understanding of justice and mercy and fairness, we would not be here today. And today's gospel, we're told, first reading, again, it's all about fairness. God says, my ways are not fair? Oh, no. Your ways are not fair. You've got to change your way of fairness to suit my way of fairness. There again, it's all or nothing. It's God's way or nothing. And in the gospel today, Matthew gives us two ways in which we can reorient our lives, to reconfigure them. And we got to be doing it every single day. And what is he using as a model? Jesus. He's using Jesus as the model. So he's not coming up with some secular ideology or philosophy. He's coming up with Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, God the Son, who redeemed us from our sins through his death and resurrection. So he's looking at Jesus as the model. So he says two ways in particular in which we can practice God's fairness. Now, it's counterintuitive. It's countercultural, because our culture would say, no, that's not going to get you anywhere. But we're told in the gospel that this is what it's all about. So that first thing we're called to practice is humility. Humility. And what does that mean? Well, Matthew tells us, or Jesus tells us, it's when we think more of the other person than we do of ourselves. We think that person is more important than I am. And we may say, well, I don't want to be stepped on. That's not the point. The point is recognizing that we don't need to put ourselves forward and be applauded and be given awards, because we do what we do as Christians out of love and gratitude. At least that's the way it's supposed to happen. So we can practice humility without counting the cost by letting other people go ahead of us, treating other people even better than we want to be treated. That's humility. And Jesus ultimately is the most humble person that ever was, because he did not cling to his divinity. He emptied himself of his divinity, and as we're told by Paul, he became a slave. He became a slave for us. Almighty God became a human being and took the form of a slave. Now, that's humility, a willingness to serve others no matter what those other people said or did to him. And I think one of the best images of that humility is during the Last Supper, where Jesus knelt on the ground and washed the feet of the apostles. Washing the feet of the apostles was something that a slave did, not someone who was in charge of things. So that's humility. So just put that in the back of your head, humility, treating other people better than ourselves, wanting to put them in front of ourselves. The second way in which we practice our faith and come closer to Jesus, and again it comes through St. Paul and all the scriptures, is obedience. Obedience. Again, we're told Jesus was obedient to the will of the Father. Doesn't mean that he would have preferred things to work out differently, and we know that's true, because in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus himself said to the Father, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering pass me by. However, not my will, but your will be done." That's perfect obedience. And again, we don't see quite that obedience in our culture, in our world. We don't take responsibility as Christians for practicing humility, practicing obedience, so that indeed we can truly change, in some maybe little way, the culture. Instead, you all know we're going to have the voting day is coming up in November, and everybody's getting all riled up, and there's this, that, and the other thing going on. It's as if we're voting for our God, that this person, whoever gets in, is going to make everything different. I can go back to my house, live a comfortable life in my bubble, because I did my duty by voting for X, Y, or Z. Well, that's got nothing to do with our Christian faith. Because also, as you recall, as Paul tells us, you and I are dual citizens. We are first and foremost citizens of heaven, and therefore, we're supposed to be thinking like heavenly people. And only secondly, are we citizens of this country or some other country. But we have been raised up by Christ, chosen by Christ, to show the world, not through politics, not through governments, not through corporations, whatever, but we're called to show people the way, the truth, and the life, who is Jesus Christ. And we do that by practicing, among many, many other things, humility and obedience. So again, for each and every one of us, the way we practice it is going to look a little bit different, because of the people we encounter, our friends, our family. And yet the more we practice it, the more we get good at it, we start living the Christian life, which is a life of virtue. And as we show people that life of virtue and we explain to people that life of virtue, people will say, oh, I want to know more about that. And of course, we have to always ground it and found it in Jesus Christ. He alone is the way, the truth, and the life. It's not the Democratic Party, not the Republican Party, not any political party, not any human individual on the planet, but it is Jesus. And he's already shown us this is how things should be going. And if you want to make a change in the world, make a change in yourself. And that will flow over ultimately into the world. So today in particular, we're called to remember that indeed God's ways are the truly fair ways. So we got to lift up our ways of thinking in terms of fairness and bring them up to the level of God. And two of the ways we can do that is by practicing humility and obedience. And again, obedience is not this blind goose-stepping to something I don't understand, but constantly praying, having a relationship with Christ, knowing what he commands of us so that it becomes, well, I was going to say second nature, but no, first nature, because that is the fullness of human life, following the way of Jesus Christ, being humble and obedient. So every day we're supposed to say, okay, how did I practice humility today, or didn't I? What did I do that sort of lorded it over someone else? What did I do to put myself first, for whatever reason? How did I disobey God today? How did I disobey Jesus, who is my Savior? How did I say, yeah, that's okay, but you don't get the reality of things right now. I got to do it this way. How often have we said that? And how often have we said, Lord, forgive me for being disobedient? So as always, the Christian journey is a long one. We'll be learning until the day we die. But the scriptures, the teachings of the church give us so much information, so many facts, so much homework to do that we're never going to be at a loss as to how to grow more close to Jesus Christ and to show him in our words, in our deeds. So as you go forth today, think of humility. How are you going to practice it coming this week? Obedience. How obedient are you? How obedient do you want to be? What sort of circumstances will you confront that will challenge you to be obedient, not to the will or the commandments of human beings, but to the will and the commandments of God? And we are told that if we do that, we will be a light in the world. We will bring Christ into the world, which is our call as Christian disciples, to constantly do the will of God so that we can bring more people to God so that they in turn can one day share for all eternity at the table in heaven, which God wants us to share with him for all eternity.